Wonderful Holy Spirit, we welcome your awesome presence in revealing your word to our hearts for this hour. And Father, I thank you for anointing your people in receiving your anointed word in Jesus' name. To the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. And all the congregation lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Our thought comes in the form of a question. Why do you want to go back into what God has brought you out of? Why do you want to go back into what God has brought you out of? We're living in a time where God desires to show himself greater and mightier in and through his people. And in spite of what we as saints may have experienced with God thus far, it will not compare to what we are about to experience. I've come to learn this. In order for new things to take place in a person's life, God has to deliver them from a lot of old things that was not beneficial to their life. Let me pause here. All old things are not bad. And many old things that we as saints of God have gotten away from that we need to go back to. Now, please hear me good today. I know we're living in a modern day. The Bible says, For I am the Lord, I change not. A lot of old things that the old saints in days gone by have found themselves doing and practicing actually brought them through many rough times in their life. But in this day and this hour, we as saints have become so modernistic. They got new hairstyles, new shoes, new clothes, and all of that stuff. But that stuff does not impress, nor does it move God. But the old things that we today have gotten away from, let me give you some old things that I find that the church world is getting away from, and many has gotten completely away from. See, prayer to many folk is old. Praising God is classified as old. Living right is outdated in this day. If it makes you feel good, just do it. Repenting is old. So many people feel like they have never done nothing wrong, and it means, well, there's no need for me to repent because I see nothing wrong with what I'm doing. Coming to church, it's old. It's just antiquated. I don't need all of that today. Loving people is old. If folk hit me, I'm going to hit them back. I mean, it's a get-back society, a get-back generation, a revengeful generation. Giving is old. People are prospering today. I mean, people have more than we've ever had in this day. People have a nice home, the nice cars and stuff. And yet they're just as tight as a mice on a hair. They will not give nobody nothing. And fasting in many people's eyes is something that's old, and we don't need it for today. Now, I just kind of touched on a few old things that we as the body of Christ in many cases have gotten away from. But it will require those old things, as the Bible says, God requireth that which is past. But there are things we need to go back to as saints of God, because those are the things that brought us from back there to where we are now. If you will notice in our text, how the people begin to cry, the people begin to weep all night, and they begin to murmur against Moses and Aaron. You know, the indication was that the people was trying to blame Moses and Aaron for them being miserable. There's an old cliche, misery loves company. And it's amazing, as long as folk are miserable and they got other folk miserable, then they get happy while you stay miserable. Well, it's kind of strange that Moses and Aaron was like the focal point of the people complaining to them. Well, first of all, Moses and Aaron was only vessels that God used to bring them out of Egypt, whereas God himself was the power behind Moses' ministry being successful. What we need to understand is that we oftentimes throw the monkey on other people's back for things not working for us. And you see, the people begin to murmur, they begin to complain. Now watch this. And they said to Moses, in other words, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Why did you bring us from a place that, you know, we was having a lot of flesh pots, as you will notice in Numbers. Even in Exodus 16, verse 3, the people told Moses, we remember the flesh pots. We had hot food every day. We had bread that was freshly baked. You could smell the bread while you're in your bed. I mean, they remember the butter that was put on the bread. And then in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4 through 6, the people told Moses again, we remember the fish that we ate. We remember the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlics. In other words, we remember all of that good stuff that we had in Egypt. Now, what's the point here? The only thing that the people was remembering was what satisfied their flesh. And what I've come to understand in this day is that many folk wants to go back into what their flesh was satisfied doing, but yet they forgot the bondage and the misery and the aggravation that they encountered while their flesh was swinging all night. Come on, talk to me here. See, the people forgot the sufferings that they encountered in the same place called Egypt that they had bread and fish and leeks and onions and melons. They had fish fries and baked fish and all kind of fish and shrimp and you name it. There is no concern and focus on their physical bodies being satisfied. Whereas they forgot those same physical bodies that they were so accustomed to satisfying were suffering under the hands of the Egyptians. They soon forgot about this stuff. Now watch this. Remember, our topic is, why do you want to go back into what God has brought you out of? And you see, oftentimes in this day, people, we forget where we come from. We forget the stuff God brought us through, and we got the audacity to fix our crooked mouth, our no-teeth mouth, and tell God, I'm sorry, I'm saved, or we may not come out verbally and say it like that, but using statements like that, it really hurt the heart of God to know that you even have thoughts like this of even going back into the world. God brought you out of a place that could have killed you. You could have lost your mind. I mean, you had close calls in Egypt. I mean, nobody know like you. You know stuff you used to do. And quite as kept, many folk are still doing stuff you've been doing. But now guess this. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 4, when they said, please hear this, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. What was the people saying here? Well, they were simply saying that we need someone to lead us back into this place called Egypt that God brought us out of, who feel like we do. Isn't that something? They say, we just can't do it on our own. We need somebody to lead us back. They felt like because God used Moses to lead them out of Egypt, they felt like they needed somebody to lead them back into Egypt. Do you not know, honey, you don't need nobody to lead you back in the mess you came out of? Because nobody was in the mess like you. You ain't talking to me. Nobody was in the filth like you was in. Yes, all of us was in sin. We was in filth. We was in stuff that we shouldn't have been in. But you don't need nobody to lead you back into the hog pen. You don't need nobody to lead you back into life that you was crying and pleading with God to bring you out of. Because nobody knew the stuff you was encountering. Nobody knew how the devil was trying to snatch your mind while you was out there shaking your money maker. Come on here. And get this. They say, we need somebody to lead us back into Egypt. And watch this. And this person will bring us back into this place that we know God just brought us out of. This place of sorrow, a place of misery, a place of abuse, a place of oppression, a place of depression, a place of poverty, and a place of being fearful. Let's think for a moment, saints of God. Whenever thoughts like this cross your mind, and you begin to talk like the Israelites, I should have stayed out there in the world, and you start talking about what you had before you got saved. Honey, nothing is better than salvation. I don't care what you had in the world, nothing takes the place of you being saved. Sometimes in life, being saved, you're not going to always have stuff that you want. Sometimes you're going to be without in life. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. God never promised to make us millionaires. And to prove it, God blessed folk with a few little nickels. They get crazy right now. Few little pennies in their piggy bank, and they got nice little clothes on their body and nice shoes on their feet. And then so folk got the audacity, once they get stuff and get on their feet, to forget when they didn't have nothing. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost, here. Listen, what angered God back there is what's angering God in our day. For people to even fix their mouth to say, what to God we was back in Egypt. What to God we was back in the world. And you see, listen to me. When you make a statement like that, you're insulting God's intelligence. You're telling God, you know what? I'm sorry I gave my life to Christ because I was better off where I was at. You know, I didn't go through all the stuff I went through. But think of it like this. When you was out there in the world and you was about to lose your mind on crack and you was smoking pot and LSD and STP and fooling with everything imaginable, running with every woman you can find, every man you could get your hands on, and all the kind of stuff you was doing, and then you got tired, and then God broke that yoke so you could make your getaway. And now you would fix your mouth to talk about what to God you would go back? That's an insult to the kingdom of God. And notice something here. What they say, it really disturbed the heart of God. And even today, saints of God, as you listen to me, what is it in the world? What do you want to go back into what God has brought you out of? You know like nobody else knows. Stuff that you encountered while you was in Egypt, stuff you've encountered while you was out there, and you know there's nobody but God that kept you. Stay tuned for part two. And why do you want to go back into what God has brought you out of? In continuing our teaching, why do you want to go back into what God has brought you out of? In part one, we looked at Numbers chapter 14, how the people in verses 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain. Notice the people start talking among themselves, let us make somebody that will be over us, who will bring us back into a place God just brought us out of. Let somebody lead us back into bondage. Let somebody lead us back into sin, into poverty. Let somebody lead us back into oppression, into depression, into being miserable and disgusted. We need somebody to take us back into that lifestyle. And believe it or not, they got folk with that kind of mentality. See, the enemy will hear you talk that kind of stuff and then send somebody your way. And invite you to come to a nightclub, invite you to come to some kind of party, invite you to come to a location that you know as a saint you shouldn't even be around, period. Abstain from your very appearance of evil. And the enemy will hear you talking that kind of stuff because, first of all, he's the one that brings such thoughts like that to your mind. When you're grateful to God, when you're thankful to God, when you know the stuff God then brought you out of, honey, your mindset ain't going back into that kind of filth. It's like a dog that threw up and went back to eat the filth. It's like you take a pig out the slop and wash that pig. and put a bullet around that pig's neck. I mean, put perfume on that pig, and before you know it, that pig just found the biggest slop of place he can get back into. Why? Because the nature of that pig has not been changed. And you see, oftentimes we as saints are going to be troubled. We're going to be tempted in this world to go back into stuff. But honey, listen here. Your mind should have got to be made up to walk with God in this day. See, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is showing up a keeper. Whatever you commit to Him, He's showing up, will keep it. And notice what the people are saying, and what they're saying really disturbed the heart of God. The mere fact that he even thought about going back into a place. Remember, Israel was in Egypt 430 years. Think for a moment. 430 years of being bound, of being in a place that they really didn't want to be in. Think of that, 430 years of being in a location that they've been crying out to God that he would bring them out of. And now for them to fix their mouth, to talk about going back into a place like this, they're going to go back into a place of oppression, a place of bondage, a place of depression, a place where there's no joy, a place where there's no peace, there's no rest. I want you to just think for a moment the stuff that the Israelites encountered. Now, the Bible may not go into detail as to things that they actually went through. But the Bible spoke about in the book of Lamentation of Jeremiah, how they ravished the women of Zion. The women in Zion were abused by the Egyptian men. And imagine this, the husbands of the Hebrew women, they watched their wives be molested and they watched their daughters be raped by the Egyptian men. And they couldn't do a thing about it. And you're talking about going back into something like this that God then brought you out of? Even if it's not even affecting your children, you as a person, you know where you come from, or have you forgotten where you come from? Because if you should have forgotten where you come from, honey, the chances are you will go back into what you just came out of. Because until you get tired of your mess, like the prodigal son, he came to himself before he came back to his father. And in Numbers chapter 14, notice, they say, let us make us a captain and let us return into Egypt. Why do you want to go back into what God has brought you out of? It's an insult to the very heart of God, to the very ears of God, for the people of God to even talk stuff like this. This is not people that didn't know God. This was the children of Israel who watched God do things for them. When they was in Egypt, they watched the plagues of Egypt. They watched God part the Red Sea. They watched God rain down fire. They watched God lead them at night with a pillar of fire and during the day with a cloud by day. They watch God rain quails and manna from on heaven. They watch God cause water to come from a rock. The Bible said marvelous things did God in the eyes of the people. God did a lot of things for them. And then for them to turn right around and talk about going back into a location that they prayed, they begged God, they plead God to get them out. And then you got to watch what you tell God when you're in something. You can make all kind of vows, all kind of promises. God, if you bring me out, I will live for you all my days. And when you make vows like that, God gonna hold you to what you say. So you got to be careful what you say when you're into stuff you know you can't get yourself out of. And you see, here it is, they're talking about, give us a captain. Give us somebody that will lead us back into Egypt, that we can return into Egypt. And notice verse 5 of Numbers chapter 14. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. That broke the heart of the servant of God. To even hear God's people talk about going back. Honey, it's no time to go back. It's time to go forward. It's time to forget about those things that are behind and reach forth unto those things that are before. Yes, these are trying times on the saints, is right. These are tough times that we're living in. But tough times don't last always. But tough people show up real. The same God that saved you is big enough to keep you saved. The same God that redeemed you is big enough to take you through. If God bring you from one place, he wants to bring you to another. But you got to trust this God that saved you. You got to trust this God that delivered you. You got to trust God that brought you out. God broke yokes in your life in the past. God destroyed chains and fetters off your mind. Think about how the enemy tried to take your mind when you was out there. And you will go back out there, honey, it will be worse this time. And you know what's the danger about this?
if you go back into what God brought you out of, honey, you might die right there and lose out with God. And it's not worth that. You done been through too much. You've experienced too much. You have seen too much. I mean, you have tasted the power of God. You have tasted the anointing of God. You have tasted the word of God. You have tasted the powers to come. You have tasted what God is about to do in your life. God begin to bless you. God begin to use you. And you want to turn your back on God. It's no time to turn your back on God. It's time to turn your back on this old road out filthy world and tell the world goodbye and tell Jesus hello. It's time to turn your back on everything that don't want to walk with God. It's time to turn your back on folk that ain't got a mind to live right. Sometimes you got to separate yourself from folk that claim that they're saved and they love the Lord and they're just as hypocrite as a $3 bill. You got to sometimes separate yourself from that kind of stuff, because the Bible says evil communication corrupt good manners. Now let me come to a close here. Why do you want to go back into what God has brought you out of? We notice in our text how the people was talking this negative stuff. And this stuff disturbed the heart of God back there. And you that's listening to me on today, yes, I know it might be rough in your life. I know it might be tough. I know sometimes things don't always go the way you want them to go. But know that God is the keeper. God is still your provider. God is still on top of everything. I don't care what's going wrong in your life. I don't care who let you down, who hurt you, who kicked you. Honey, just stand still and see God's salvation. Just be still and know that God is still God. God gonna still be God in spite of what's falling all around you. In spite of folk not loving you. In spite of folk not being there. He said, no, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, let me give you something here to help you out as I come to a close. What must we do to keep ourselves from going back into what God has brought us out of? Number one, you must stay in prayer. Saints of God, you got to develop a prayer life if you don't have one. This is a critical hour that we're living in. It is a critical time that's upon the church world as a whole. There are so many events happening in this world today. Many events the Bible says would take place actually have been happening even now. And there's nothing you can do to alter what the world say going to take place. All you can do is just stay ready for the trump of God to sound and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in a cloud to meet our Lord in the air. Hallelujah. So you got to stay in prayer. Stay on your faith. Stay in the word. And then number two, you got to stay in the word. Number three, you got to watch your company. You got to watch folk you're hanging around. Let me slow down here. What must we do to keep ourselves from going back into what God has brought us out of? You got to watch the company you keep. Sometimes people can be influencing you wrongly. They're dropping little nuggets of seed. Let's go do this. Let's go here. Let's go there. That sounds good. That appeases your flesh. Notice in our text, the people wanted to go back to a place that appeased their flesh. They like the fish and the bread and the leeks and the garlic. All that stuff was for their flesh. It didn't do nothing to their spirit, man. God then brought us out of filth, out of filthy. I mean out of a place that was just polluting our spirit. Now God then put you in a place where he can feed you. I don't mean just from the physical, but from the spiritual standpoint. But you want to leave being fed spiritually to go feed your physical flesh? Honey, your flesh needs to be crucified every day. And it takes prayer to crucify the flesh. So you got to watch the folks you're hanging around. Watch what you're entertaining, folks. Then number four, you got to attend Bible studies. If you're not a part of a Bible-believing church, pray and ask God to lead you to a place where you can hear his word taught and explained, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number five, become a part of a local assembly. Ask God to lead you to a place where you can grow, where you can be discipled once you give your life to Christ. Listen, once you become born again, you're a babe in Christ. And just like a baby needs milk, you now need the milk of the word. But being a baby, you can't feed yourself. You need to be under someone like a tutor, someone to teach you, someone to train you. So pray next God to lead you to a place where you can be trained. Then number six, you must watch what you entertain. Watch what you pick up in your spirit. Your spirit is just like a sponge. It absorbs everything in here. Next, you got to keep a grateful heart. Never become ungrateful. Always appreciate God for what he's done for you. I don't care if it's small things. Thank God for the little things in life. And then number eight, remember where God brought you from and how you used to be. Listen, here's a key here. To keep you from going back into what you've come out of, You got to remember where you come from. Remember the stuff God brought you from. Don't get amnesia. It's not that you're to dwell on your past, no. But when you remember where you was at and what God brought you from, it keeps that fresh in your spirit and makes you more grateful to God, and it keeps you pressing and drawing and running after God. Why do you want to go back into what God has brought you out of? You're listening to this message on today, and Jesus Christ, He might not be your personal Lord and Savior, but my friend, Jesus desires to bring you out of sin, because if you die in sin, you will go straight to hell. But that is not His will, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to stop what you're doing right now, my friend, because this day salvation is coming to your heart. I want you to repeat this prayer from your heart. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, say, Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You came to planet Earth. You hung on a cross. You shed Your blood for my sins. I believe You died. You was buried, and You rose again. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in Your blood. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life from this day forward. I thank You for saving me and giving me a new beginning of life in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your spoken word. Holy Spirit, convict the hearts of Your people as they listen to this message. Even those that were on the verge of going back, convict their hearts, I pray. Draw them back to the bleeding side of Calvary, where they can recommit their lives to Jesus. And Father, I give You glory for it now, in Jesus' name.